You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Folks, we've been hearing a lot about what's going on in Texas relative to the redistricting and move into special session there, and the fact that a number of Democrats have decided to leave the state to avoid or to defeat a quorum being had so that there's not the ability to take a vote. As such, it is frustrated Republicans, so much so Republican Senator John Thune solicited U.S. Senator John Thune solicited the assistance of the FBI director, Kash Patel, in hunting down some of these Democrats. Is this the role that the FBI should play? Patrick Eddington, senior fellow at the Cato Institute, wrote a blog the other day about America's not-so-secret secret police. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Neil, it's great to be back with you.
Emotions seem to be running wild. I mean, the exercise of emotional intelligence right now is waning at a record pace. I just kind of scratching my head trying to figure out what direction we're headed in.
Well, I think, anytime you see folks swing towards extremes, and I certainly view Mr. Trump and his movement as being one extreme in the same way that I view Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York and their mayoral candidate, Zohran Mamdani. I view them as just, like another extreme. And when you get that, common sense just, pretty much goes out the window. And I think what's been happening in Texas, is definitely emblematic of that. And Governor Paxton or Governor Abbott and Attorney General Paxton, they clearly want to be able to try to find a way, to give President Trump the additional seats that he's basically asked for to try to hang on to Congress. And I don't think they should be doing that in the same way that I don't think that, Gavin Newsom in California ought to be looking to try to undo the nonpartisan redistricting model that they've had there in that state, for several years now. But at the end of the day, this is about power. And it's about, who's going to be able to exercise power and what lengths people in politics are willing to go to get and maintain a grip on power, even if it has the effect essentially of distorting or even essentially trashing the Constitution in the process.
So we know that the request was made, and what was the response from the director of the FBI?
I'm not sure, at least as of today, Monday, August 11th, when you and I are talking, I'm not sure that Kash Patel himself has put it in writing in a public way that they've actually agreed to do this. I think if that had happened, we'd probably be seeing it all over the place. And I don't believe, and I'll have to double check on this, but I don't believe at the press conference that the president held today about essentially taking over D.C. in terms of law enforcement, I don't recall Director Patel making, any mention of that. But I will admit that I wasn't able to see the entire press conference. But in any event, the FBI shouldn't be involved in this at all. I mean, this is literally a Texas state matter. And I hope that, Governor Abbott is not foolish enough to try to send Texas Rangers to Illinois, New York, and Massachusetts to try to retrieve these folks, because certainly in the case of Illinois, Governor J.B. Pritzker has made it very clear he will not tolerate that. I'd hate to see a shootout between, Texas Rangers and Illinois state troopers, Illinois state troopers and the FBI. So I really hope that calmer heads ultimately prevail in this, and that the Governor Abbott and Attorney General Paxton, dial it back and find another way to get, a redistricting outcome that everybody can basically feel like is actually constitutional and at least, nominally acceptable to everyone.
But where, I mean, would, you know, I hear this a lot of saying that is constitutional, but I've yet to have someone point out to me where, you know, whether you agree or not agree, where this is unconstitutional to do this redistricting mid-cycle. I mean, a lot of states wait 2, 3, sometimes even as long as 4 years post-census to resolve their redistricting, and they've had some examples of it getting caught up in the court and not being resolved till past the mid-cycle of censuses in the past.
Well, I think, you know, where the constitutional nexus comes from in this particular case is any notion that the FBI plays a role in hunting Texas legislators, right? But in terms of when states elect, you know, to try to do this kind of redistricting, I think your overall picture that you painted here tends to be true. But these fights can also involve efforts, and this has certainly been the case in the past, where folks on one side of the aisle or other try to draw lines in such a way as to guarantee a particular outcome for a particular seat or a particular set of seats that runs afoul, you know, of other federal laws. What they're trying to do here in Texas, I think, is really quite clear. And that is they're doing everything they can to try to give President Trump a cushion for the upcoming midterms in order to try to help the Republicans, you know, maintain control of the House. And so, you know, whether or not the specific methods by which Abbott and Paxton are going about this are completely unconstitutional, you know, that's going to be potentially something for the courts. But what it's done is it has basically sparked a new redistricting arms race, you know, for lack of a better term. And I just don't see how in our current environment that is going to be remotely helpful in cooling the national temperature over this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. I made this observation the other day. The one thing that's different about Trump as opposed to a lot of other candidates, I don't know that there's any doubt in my mind and a lot of people's mind that when states go about redistricting, that the national political parties are involved. If that party holds, you know, the White House at that point in time, those people are involved. The leaders of Congress are involved, and the goal is always, I mean, just look at Illinois, for example. There's no way you achieve that map unless there's something, you know, going on, right? I mean, it doesn't happen that way. That's not a coincidence. And the same thing in Massachusetts and many other states. I mean, the difference about Trump is that he doesn't hide the fact. You know, I'm sure that Biden and Obama and Bill Clinton and other Democratic presidents communicated with their leadership that this is what we need to do. This is what we need to accomplish. He just didn't say it out loud.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, you know, I think you're right about that.
And you've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
That's the caveat that this country, you know, we beg for transparency until we have it. Then we don't know how to deal with it.
I think there's a lot of truth in that too. Yeah.
What was the old toy? You got it, Toyota. You know, if you ask for it, you got it, Toyota. I mean, it's like you got it, and now you know it. It's out. You know, we're not whispering in the hallways about what's going on. I mean, it's top of the news of every news cycle. You know, and you add to that 24 news cycles a day, because that's about how many there are. I mean, you know, it gets way whacked out and crazy, and I don't know, and that's why I went straight to emotional intelligence, because that's the only thing that can bring you through all of this with some semblance of structure and order and, you know, exercise of common sense, as you said earlier.
Well, I think, you know, whenever the political process turns into a zero-sum game where it's all strictly about power and who has power and who's going to be able to wield power and potentially do things to folks that are in the minority. And I mean, you know, millions and millions of voters, you know, who don't necessarily agree with, you know, with a given program. Whenever we see efforts essentially to try to do that is when, you know, we really run the risk, I think, of seeing things very much spiral out of control. And I think, not sure if you had a chance to get any updates on the president's press conference this morning with respect to the District of Columbia, but, you know, he's invoked Section 740 of the Home Rule Act, basically claiming that there's, you know, this giant crime wave in D.C. And Newell, I'll tell you, I've lived in the D.C. suburbs here in Northern Virginia for nearly 40 years. And when I got here in 1988, the homicide rate in D.C. was just under 400 a year. By the next year, it was well over 400. And by 1991, it was almost 500. As of today, there have been 99 homicides in D.C. And that's a 12% decrease, you know, from last year. So, you know, I think what the president is doing, especially here in D.C., is just more performative politics in a lot of respects. It's going to cost the taxpayers more money because he's calling up 800 to 1,000 members of the D.C. National Guard. There's going to be a lot of overtime for federal and D.C. police, you know, so that's going to drive it up. But the idea that, you know, there's some kind of, you know, massive crime wave that's sweeping across the District of Columbia that requires this is just simply, you know, not true. I mean, it's just not factually accurate. But, you know, this is a stock and trade for Trump. You know, he's a very, you know, tough on crime guy. He wants to maintain that kind of posture. He wants to continue to send that kind of message. That's what they did in L.A., even though there really was no need to call up the California National Guard, much less 800 Marines down there. But, you know, it's obviously a template that they're using. And the president said this morning that you know, all but said that Chicago is next on the list. So I don't think, unfortunately, I don't think that things are going to calm down the way that you and I would probably prefer to see them calm down.
Yeah, you know, and this, I don't think this conflates the issue, but I think a lot of it is, you know, what we're doing to try and circumvent one another. You know, the establishment of sanctuary cities relative to immigration enforcement, whether you believe that what they're doing is the right thing or not, is almost a separate issue. The moment in time where state and local governments trying to figure out a way to circumvent the authority of the federal government, which it's clear that immigration enforcement historically has been, you know, federal purview. And so when you begin to see this, you know, that this is where everybody's doubling down, you know, and you're right. Yeah. It's not going to be a positive thing in the end by any stretch of the imagination. And thus far, it hasn't been other than when they focus on what they do, like what's going on at the border. You know, there wasn't a lot of interaction. Yeah. They set about under their authority to do what they could do, and they did it. And now we have incredibly positive numbers, you know, at the border for sure. As always, Patrick Ennington, thank you so much for your time, your insight. We appreciate it, sir, for joining us, and have a great week.
You too, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you. That's Patrick Ennington, senior fellow at the Cato Institute. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.